Afternoon. What a good opportunity we have to be together today. And may we do as we spoke of this morning, may we seek to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church here. One of the things I want to encourage you in, and throughout this year, anytime that you have something, to the best of my ability at least, I'll try to take you anything that you suggest that you'd like to hear a lesson on or something maybe you've been thinking about. I try to do that on a regular basis. Anyone that has something, as long as I don't forget to put it down somewhere where I'll find it again, or don't forget it, I'll try my best to try to share some of the studies that I have and can find the things that are in the Word of God with you. And certainly would encourage you to do that, and hopefully it'll be a benefit to each of us. It no doubt is beneficial for us to look at the Word of God on a regular basis. Well, it's finally over, at least I think it is, at least until they start up again, and that is the holidays, which it seems to be one right after the other, and the times throughout those days is a lot of family time, a lot of times in which families come together, and a lot of times when families see each other when they don't normally throughout the year, and maybe a lot of people that you get to see that maybe you don't on a regular basis say, well, I didn't see anybody over the holidays. Well, okay, that's fine, but you realize and recognize what I'm talking about. And even in the midst of all of that, some realizations, I think, come to us that maybe, well, they'd just be beneficial for us to consider ourselves and realize that during that family time, maybe it should cause us a little bit of contemplation and maybe a little bit of consideration of what it is that a family is and what it is that could benefit us in considering. It's all about family. It's all about family, and consider that it's all about family from the standpoint of when we talk about several different families. It's all about family, and really, I want to just simply start this afternoon and ask you, who's your family? Who is your family? You say, well, maybe I don't have a lot of people to get together with, and certainly don't want to make anyone to feel especially poor about that or feel like that you're losing something as a result of that. But the fact of the matter is, a family is a defining factor for a lot of people. There's those who are famous and those who are financially well-to-do, those who are faithful Christians, those who are everything from dysfunctional to non-existent, but still people recognize what family is. And people, I think, really understand that what you really want, ultimately, a lot of times, is that very relationship of a family. Even if we are not feeling like we have the especially best relationship with a family, we'd like for it to be there. We understand what it is, and we understand, perhaps at least in our understanding, what that concept is. And yet, even in all of that, I think we need to understand that our physical family is not the only relationship of a family. In Mark, the third chapter, Jesus is speaking to some, and he's teaching on that occasion in Mark chapter 3, and his physical family want to see him. His physical family want to come and to talk to him or to gain his attention for one reason or another. And so in Mark chapter 3, in verse 31, it says, his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. It's kind of interesting maybe just to pause there and see that there's enough of a crowd that they can't even get in the house. They can't even get even in the place where he is. And they've got to send word into Jesus that they're there and that they want to see him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. One of the things we realize when we get together with physical family on a regular basis, a lot of us anyway, is we realize that not everybody in that family, not everybody in our physical family, are that especially concerned about spiritual things that we may be concerned about. Not all of them are focused on the spiritual aspects of life that maybe we are especially concerned about and focused on ourselves. And maybe that is something that maybe tweaks our heart to a certain extent and makes us to understand that there are some differences there. Maybe it just simply causes us maybe even a little bit of pain. And maybe if we were to dwell on it for a good long period of time, maybe a lot of hurt even within ourselves. But what's Jesus' point here? It's not that he didn't care about his physical family. It wasn't that he didn't have want to have anything to do with them. But it seems especially, at least at this point in Jesus' life, the physical life, that this mother and brothers, his brothers especially, I would say, are those who are not especially concerned about following after Jesus. They're not especially. I think his mother was always interested in who he was and what he was doing. She was always, as he was a young child from all the way to the cross, I think we see her being one who had taken the things that she learned in earlier verses, talks about she took those things and she stored them in her heart, or she put them in herself and recognized and thought about those things. And yet the most important part of that passage, I think, is in verse 35, "For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother." And maybe that's the question we ought to ask. Are we doing the will of God? Or is our family, physical family even, doing the will of God? And you say, well, no, they're not all doing the will of God. I'm trying to do that as best I can. It's a challenge for us to become... come close in a relationship in which physical family really don't care too much about that. They don't care too much about coming and worshiping God on a regular basis. They don't care much about getting their Bibles and taking them out on a regular basis and reading from the Word of God. They're not much interested in maybe even spending time in the home, in the house, as they're gathering themselves together and thinking about and even talking about the Word of God. And physical family, a lot of times, makes it a challenge for us. And maybe it makes a challenge for us on another level or another way, too. Because maybe you're looking at or thinking about the things I've just said. You said, well, that's not my family. We're all interested in the Word of God. We're all interested in serving God. Why, all of us are doing that together. In fact, all of us that are close by and that are close together, and why, we're all doing that, and what a wonderful thing that is, and that's fantastic. In no way would I ever take any of that away or think that would be or tell you something that's not a good thing. It's fantastic, wonderful. I think we'd have to say that on the other end of that, it is just as wonderful if you are the only one in the family, in your physical family, that's doing what's right. Whether you have everyone you feel like in the family doing it or you are the only one, keep doing the right thing. Keep serving God. Keep doing God's will. And understand that as Jesus says here, that whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. You see, even as Paul talked about in Romans chapter 8 this morning, as we discussed, we have a sonship or an inheritance and can be those who are heirs of Christ and heirs from God, who have that sonship in God, because really it's all about family. And the question is, who is your family? And one other thought I might just say is that don't define who is your family just by blood relation or by physical relationship. And that'll make more sense here in just a moment. It's all about family, yes. And maybe we need to make sure that we're careful to define our family because, well, we realize that as we define family, that it's not always about those who are physically related to us. It's not all DNA. But it is about those who are most encouraging to be around because they are serving God and that they are doing God's will. And that if they are the ones that are doing the will of God, they are brothers and they're sisters and they are mothers and individuals that are certainly can be the closest to us. And so let me ask, are we a family? And who I mean by we is we as a local church. Are we a family? Are we ones that treat each other like a family? Are we people who are welcoming to each other? We welcome each other to be a part of this family and we encourage each other. I don't know about how your growing up relationship with family has gone, but I know what mine has been like, and I know what it's like to be close to certain persons in the family, and I know what it's like to, well, just to feel like you don't know those people at all. I have a great uncle or a great uncle. To be honest, I didn't think about it close enough to go back and research, but he wrote out a history of a particular part of my family, and he was so excited. And one time I saw him at a reunion, and didn't go to those reunions all the time, but went, and he had written a book about it, and he'd put all the people together and where all the history had gone down through. And I don't know if it's as good as Ancestors.com, but he had been thrilled about it for years, and he'd researched and took pictures of stones in gravesides, and he was just thrilled to death. And I think at that time he had probably not had me as an audience, and he wanted me to hear about it. He wanted to make sure I knew about it. In fact, he wanted to make sure I had a copy of the book, and he sent me a copy of the book. I found out later, Mom said, "We never gave me a copy of that book," so I kind of just stayed away from that one, you know, and she didn't get a copy of the book. But what that told me was there are people that he was especially excited to be related to, or to make sure he knew who he was related to. But what I knew about all of that is that family that he was so excited about, he didn't know very much about a whole lot of those people. And the fact of the matter was, that family really was not that close. Relationally, they really weren't that engaged with each other. In fact, they never hardly saw each other. Oh, they knew what was going on with people. In fact, if you were asked the grandparents in that family at that time, oh, you know, grandma knew what all was going on, and so-and-so this is going on, so-and-so that's going on with their life. And, you know, it's one thing to know what's going on with people. It's another thing to be actually engaged with those people while those things are going on and involved with them. Physical family, when marriage happens or a child is born or grandchildren come into play, those things are important and exciting. Proverbs 17 and verse 6 says, "Grandchildren are a crown of the aged, and the glory of children is to their fathers." Fact is, physical family often knows what's happening with each other's lives, but I can tell you it's easy to be related in a physical sense and feel like you've never really been that connected to those people. Maybe you understand that very well yourself. What about us? Are we a family? Say, so we're not related physically. Maybe some are. Maybe several are. But what's more important is, are we related like a spiritual family? As new Christians, maybe as struggling Christians, or as those who are returning, maybe those who are kind of separating and pulling further away. And maybe you've got people that can sit back and say, "Oh yeah, so-and-so, brother so-and-so is having this problem, sister so-and-so is struggling there, and well, you know, this brother is doing pretty good doing this, and another sister is, we're a little concerned about her." It's one thing to tell all of those things or to know that's going on, but are we going then and connecting with that individual or those people? It's one thing to know what's happening. It's another thing to act like family. It's another thing to go and say to that brother, "You know, I'm really concerned about you. I know that there's some things that are really tough going on in your life right now. I know there's some things that may be causing a special difficulty." Or to go to a sister and say, "Boy, I am really excited about it. I've been excited about your thrill and your enthusiasm in serving the Lord lately. I've noticed it. I just want you to know. I've noticed it, and I'm really glad for it." And really the question is, how do we accomplish that? How do we accomplish those things? You say, well, we got all that covered, right? We got the groups divided up to take care of that, right? And I think the groups are good. I think they're fine. But it is one thing to get together as a group and write out a few cards and make sure everybody gets a card. And in no way do I mean this as a criticism, because I don't think that needs to stop. But if I'm gone, because I'm sick and I get the few cards that come in as a result of that, what do I know? What do you know? You say, well, the group got together and they sent a few cards. That's well and good, and that's fine. We don't need to stop doing that. You know what means even more? Is when I know brother or sister so-and-so weren't in that group and they picked up the phone and they called themselves. Or they found an opportunity, or they took the opportunity to reach out themselves and to try to do something in spite of the fact that nobody told them they needed to do that or it was their turn to do that. You see, that's family. That's a family that is becoming close. How do we accomplish things like that? Well, we spend a little time doing it. We take some time, we take the effort, we take the care that we ought to have for those that are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we put that effort forth. You say, are we a family? Well, we're only a family to the extent that we act like family. We're only a family to the extent that we ourselves, or me, myself, somebody may be looking at you and say, well, looking at me and saying, well, I don't think you called me to at this time, and I know when I was away for that. And that may be well right. And I'm sorry if I've disappointed you tremendously in that. And it may be just my forgetfulness, which is of no excuse whatsoever. But whatever the case is, we need to act like family. Have we spent the time? Have we taken the effort? Have we given the care that's needed? Or do we only see each other at services? We feel like we kind of know the backstory. We know what's going on in someone's life. But we've never really gone to them and asked them, how are you today? Really. Not just how you doing, shake your hand and we'll see you next time. But we ask about their life. We talk to them about what's going on. And maybe if we do know a little bit of the aspect of what's going on with their life, do we talk with them rather than at them, and do we act like family? You know, family associations and family events, you know, you've always got at least that one really kind of odd uncle, if it's, or an aunt, usually. I'll put them in that category. And here comes Uncle Joe once again, and he's got, you know, he just got that weird laugh about him, and he doesn't quite know how to joke around. He thinks he does. He thinks he's got a sense of humor. But he uses that sense of humor, and he's got kind of that goofy laugh that he gives. And you think, oh no, if he does that one more time, I'm gonna go running out the door because he just drives me nuts. Sometimes we look at each other, I'm afraid even within a local church family, and you say, oh, there's brother so-and-so, or there's sister so-and-so. And you know what? They just drive me nuts. They've got that kind of odd sense about them, and maybe they don't have a sense of humor either, and you know the preacher doesn't either. But whatever the case is, but they kind of just drive me insane every time they talk to me. Maybe there's a couple things about that. Number one, I wouldn't say that maybe the weird uncle or the weird aunt doesn't need to go and talk and try to create a relationship, because that's not the solution to all of that. Neither is it for the brother or the sister in Christ to step back and say, well, maybe I'm just driving everybody nuts and I'm not going to talk to anybody anymore. That's not the solution. Maybe the solution on the one hand is that if a brother or sister does come and wants to talk to me, I'll make every effort I can to be engaged in that conversation, to appreciate the brother or sister that is coming to talk out of good motivation and out of good desires. And I know they're doing that, and I'll do my best to grow that relationship at that moment. And on the other end of that, to make sure that if I say, well, you know, they never really want to talk to anybody, or they never really do hardly engage with other people. And I'll be quite honest, there are times when I say to myself, I'm really not sure what to say to them. I'm really not sure how to connect to that brother. I'm really not sure, because when I've tried, they kind of felt like they kind of treated me like I was in junior high again. Y'all remember junior high, right? You know, you had those kids, those people in your junior high class, they kind of just treated you like you were too weird to be seen with. They sure didn't want to talk to you in the hall. They weren't going to talk to you in the classroom either. And I tell you what, if nothing else, we've got to be more mature than that. We've got to grow up a little better. If that's all the better we act, except if we act like middle school and junior high kids. That's not family. Are we a family? Are we willing to adopt, if you will? In other words, have we been adopted into Christ? Surely we have. In Ephesians, the first chapter, in Ephesians chapter 1, and in verses 3 through 6, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the beloved. We have been adopted into God's family. We've been adopted into a family that never really had to have us in the family. And to be adopted into the family of God, we should see it with such rejoicing and realize it, that how fantastic it is to be a part of that family. And then to look around at each other and realize that it is a whole room full and a whole group full of adopted people into Christ. You say, we're really not that related. That's okay. We can act like family, and maybe we could act like family even better. We could act like family that really cares because we've made ourselves do so. We've made ourselves. Are we family? And is the family growing together? Are we growing spiritually? That's what I mean by that. Are we growing spiritually with each other and realize that, well, I'm not afraid to ask a question in a Bible class or make a comment or something like that because everybody's going to kind of sneer or kind of think, oh, he should have figured that out by now, or she should have been no better by now. Because either side of that's wrong, you realize. We should never be too ashamed to feel like that we can't learn from each other. We should never be too haughty and arrogant to think that, well, they should know better than that. But we love each other because we've all been adopted into the same family. Are we people who welcome people? Are we welcoming people? Oh yeah, we are the most welcoming people. One of these days, I'm gonna get brave as Mike and show a video. I'll probably show you a video. I probably won't show the whole thing because it's kind of, and there'll probably be a thing or two in it. Maybe just you'll have a little question mark about because of who produced it. But just from the standpoint of that's not appropriate, and I would point that out. But it's just a video that illustrates and points out that people aren't always as welcoming in a local church setting as we may think we are. Oh yeah, we're glad for anybody to come in, and yet they can come in and not have anybody shake their hand or not have anybody say anything, certainly not have anything said to them in the parking lot. We're just kind of look at them and say, well, you don't wonder if they're in the right place. Who are they? Anybody, are they related to anybody around here? Are we welcoming because we're willing to tell them, you know, we've got classes downstairs. Can I help you? Can I show you where those classes are? Are your kids interested in going down? And come on down with us. We'll all go down there and we'll show you where the class is, and I'll introduce you to the teacher, and I'll... Those kind of things. Are we welcoming to each other? Are we welcoming to each other on a regular basis? Because, well, we see each other on a regular basis. Yeah, we already know who you are. I know your name. And would I shake hands and be friendly and smile? And do I need to do that to everybody? Again, we may know people's names, but maybe we ought to get to know people even more. We are a family. We need to be a family. This local church needs to be a family, and not because of who you're physically related to or who you know as long as or as most of the time. What I mean by that is who you've known the longest. That's what I meant to say. It's not about a family that those who have known the longest, well, you know, this group or this couple or this family, quote unquote, within this family, why, you know, they only came this number of years ago. You know what? That doesn't have anything to do with anything. It doesn't matter how many or how few years ago they came to be a part of a local church family. That didn't make them any less a part of the family. Guess what? When a baby was born just a year ago, it's the most fantastic and excitable and exciting member of that family for the longest time. We never say, well, you know, they've only been around here for a little while. We're not real sure how connected we are to those people. But sometimes I've gotten that impression from brethren in a local church setting. Well, you know, they've only been here for a few years now. So what? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Are we a family? And are we a family that's making sure that we're a family worth being a part of or related to? I think I got your blanks mixed up on that one on your sheet, by the way, if you're wondering about that. But are we going to be a family that's worth or encouraging to be a part of and being related to? I don't mean by that to say that we're not worth it or that nobody else is worth it. That's not what I mean by that. But are we a family that makes it worth it to be a part of? As a local church, do we show them that we're interested in them? Do we show people that we care about them? Do we show people that we have the characteristics and that we're living out as the Spirit would be living within us and to showing out the characteristics in our lives that even that we read of this morning? I'll just go back there for just a moment. Are we showing that we're bearing out the fruit that illustrates that that the Spirit is being lived out in my life? That the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 6, or chapter 5, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We show it other people that we love them. You know what? You say, well, you know, I've been just adopted into this family. Guess what? So have I. I love you just as much and just as more because of that. Perhaps I have a relationship with someone that I can need to have the joy and the peace and certainly the patience. You know what you learn after a period of years? You learn how to really show love in a family if you desire to and if you want to. And one of the ways you learn how to show that love is by learning how to be patient with each other. We were talking at a wedding yesterday, and someone made the statement in our physical family, one of the kids made a statement about someone else in the family, and I said, yeah, I used to realize that, or I used to notice that, but I said, I guess I got to where it didn't bother me anything. I said, I never even pay attention anymore. I never notice it happens or it's never done. It was a particular about a person, and I said, I never really even notice. You may notice something about a brother or sister in Christ. You say, every time they do that, it just drives me nuts. I remember a brother, he just as time do is wrench his neck around like this, you know, and seemed like he was doing that all the time. It drove me insane. He was a father of a friend, and he was a brother in Christ, but I was a teen at the time. That probably wasn't the real problem, but, you know, it just drove me absolutely nuts. So he did that all the time. Didn't think I could talk to the guy. Guess what? You know what? None of that makes any difference. You're thinking about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and she does her hair a little funny. You know? Okay, so what? Doesn't matter. What type of patience do I have with people? Maybe the way they talk or the way they say. I'm not talking about talking inappropriately, obviously. Do we show them and others how valuable they are? In Philippians, the second chapter, as Paul speaks there, and as he speaks about Timothy and about his concept about the fact is about what Timothy was and how important Timothy was. In verse 21 of Philippians chapter 2, he says, "For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel." Paul says, Timothy is like a son in the gospel to me. Timothy is like my son, and you know how valuable and worthwhile he is. He has proven that worth. Look as a mentor to young people around you. Look as young Christians around you and see the value that they have and try to encourage them in the very best way and every way that you can. Maybe mentor them a little bit. Doesn't mean you have to take them only under your wing and only you can ever talk to them. Only you will ever give them any good advice. But give them ever so often the encouragement that you think to give them and get the opportunity to. Give them the help that they may need in some way or another. As Paul writes the book of Philemon, and that one little book there, and writes to Onesimus, or speaks of Onesimus, he writes and says, "Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord." Paul said to Philemon, I want you to understand that here's a good man. He's a good man because now he's a Christian. He's good because he's serving the Lord. And in fact, he's useful to me and he's useful to you. And yet, I want you to realize that I wasn't going to do it without anything that you consented about. How many times do we make our family worth being a part of because we make that a worthwhile relationship? We make it a worthwhile relationship, such a valuable relationship that, you know, it's a relationship I'll do without. And do we make that kind of connection with people? You see, that will only happen if I put the time into it. That will only happen if I maybe open myself, certainly if I open myself up, maybe open my home up, and maybe open my life up to someone. Maybe they'll know a little more about me. Maybe I will know a little more about them. Maybe they'll just simply understand that I've struggled through some of the same things they're struggling through. Or that I'm rejoicing over those things, to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Does that sound familiar? Are we a family worth being a part of? Are we showing in the family that we're worth being a part of, that we show that such things as what Paul talks about in Romans, the 16th chapter, in verses 1 and 2. And he says to them, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centuria, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, to help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many, and of myself as well. There was a sister named Phoebe he was sending to them, and he says, if anything she needs, you give it to her. Anything she needs help with, you understand she's worth the help and she's worth all the good things that you can do. And I really just think that if we're going to say we are a local church family, and I believe that is a perfectly biblical and acceptable and scriptural term, we are a church family. But if we're going to say that, we better act like family. We better make sure that we're not pretending to be the kind of family that is loving and caring and, oh yeah, that's what family ought to be. But that's what we are. That's what we're doing. And that we're helpful to each other. Because it does no good to say, I'm a Christian and act like I'm not. It does no good to say I'm a Christian and never serve Christ. And it does no good to say, we're a part of a local church family, but I don't want to act like family. I don't want you involved in my life. I'm not going to be involved in your life. You don't need to ever come to my place, and I'll not come to your place. You deal with your business, I'll deal with mine. There's no love in that whatsoever. There's no way to say that that is a loving relationship. The fact is, if people irritate you and you can only think of their problems and their issues and their mistakes, the fact is you'll just not treat them like family. You'll not treat them like they're worth much or that they're very enjoyable. And the fact is that if grace is anything, it ought to be the type of thing that we have in a family. Because we have to have it when you have physical family, don't you? Maybe sometimes it's just for the reunion or it's just for the holiday time. But it needs to be for those times. It needs to be that there doesn't need to always be somebody get upset and angry. And you always know that particular relative is going to get angry at some point in the midst of the thing. And the only way they ever leave is because they get mad and then they leave and make a show. We need to be careful of those types of attitudes. Look at Romans, the 14th chapter. In Romans chapter 14, again, as Paul writes to the Christians there in Rome, he says, for if we live, verse 8, Romans 14, verse 8, for if we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that we might be both, that we might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give account of himself to God. Be the family who loves. John talked about love in 1 John chapter 2. As well as other portions of that book, he says in verse 9, whoever says that he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. And whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him and who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. We need to learn how to live like family. We need to learn how to make sure that we treat each other that way. Someone says, you know, I really can't stand it when someone, even family, fakes it. I can't stand it when they do that. I can't stand it when they just fake it like they like you or like they love you. And they act differently about you to others than they act toward you at the time they're around you. I can't convict everybody, but I just wonder if we haven't all done that in some way or another at some point. We want to act like brother, sister, so-and-so, oh, we love you, we care about you, we're glad you're here. We walk away and somebody else we're talking to, you say, oh, they are. You realize the problems they got. You realize how irritating they are. And so wherever your mind is at this point this evening, understand we're probably on both sides of that coin. That we probably have been very irritating because we've not been very good family. We've not been very good relation to deal with. We've not been very graciously to those that are around us. Maybe you were saying, well, they didn't to me. Okay, fine. But on the other flip side of that coin, maybe we've said, well, you know, I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing fine. I can't believe they can't get it together. I can't believe they're not doing the right thing. In all of that, maybe we just need to throw that coin away. A brother said to me this morning, said, be careful, don't take any wooden nickels. They'll break every time. That's right. Don't take any nickels that are like that. Because the fact of the matter is, we all need to be family. It's not just your physical family. It's the family that's most important. It's the family that's serving God, that you want to serve God with and that you are. And the question we really need to ask is, are we family and are we acting like that? And so the final question I would just simply ask is, do you need a family? I hope nothing I would say this afternoon would discourage your desire to have that family. But I would assume that there is always someone here who needs Christ. There's always someone within our group that understands that at some point that they're going to need Christ. We, I think, and you've heard me say it before, we don't have to be saying, well, we don't have any visitors here tonight or this afternoon. And, you know, that really doesn't matter, number one, because we got those who, with hearts and souls that not every single individual are in Christ. And all need to consider, am I in this family? And have I been adopted into the family of God? Because I've responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I would never want to recommend a hurtful family to anyone. And someone in need of the family, though, needs a family, I think, even like this. Because even with some of the things I've said, some of the things that we've thought about this afternoon, none of them have been intended to be hurtful to us as a group, as a congregation here. Let's just simply to make us think and say, what type of family do we need to be? Because I like to think, but I believe there's a good family here that meets at this place on a regular basis. And yet, I want to make sure that it's a family that doesn't just meet at this place. I hope it's a family that opens its own doors and lives and relationships to each other in such a way that you can say, you know, I don't know brother, sister, so-and-so very well. Maybe we need to spend a little more time with them. I don't know what's going on with this person's life. Maybe I need to ask sincerely about them again. I don't know how things are going with the good things that have happened recently that I know with their lives. I need to just simply go and encourage and let them know I'm thrilled for the good that's happened in their life. To just simply rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep. Family's essential. And I hope we can have an essential family ourselves. If you're here this afternoon and you need to be a part of the family of God and be within the family of Christ, be one like Jesus said. That those brothers and sisters and mother of Jesus would be those who do the will of God. And if you need to respond to the gospel call of salvation, we'd love that this afternoon. And we'd love to serve you and encourage you in any way we can. Why don't you come home soon?